Hey, it's Sklar Brothers here. View from the cheap seats. This week we have an unbelievable guest. He played in the NFL, had over 10,600 yards rushing, and now he's got a great acting career. He's Thomas Q. Jones. Man, did you have fun on the show?
Man, I had a blast on this show. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah, we got super deep, man. It was early in the morning out here in the West Coast.
Man, listen,
y'all got my brain working early, man.
I'm talking issues. I'm saying, look, we got so deep, we put her butt to sleep. That's what I'm saying.
I love it.
This is Neil Hamburger. Hey, I don't know if you podcast people even watch the news, but it's a real catastrophe right now in the Philippines. They had a horrible typhoon, and it's just a goddamn mess. Those folks need assistance. So Tim Heidecker and myself put together a little six-minute track, an exclusive MP3 titled Taco Bell Apple Tree, which Tim and I will send out to anyone who donates $10 or more to one of the many legit organizations offering relief down there. Go to feralaudio.com for all the details on how you can help.
Welcome to Twisting the Wind. It's gonna be hot in here from now on.
But get it blasted straight up fast, and then you cast your aster. You wanna cast that aster from the gas scatter?
It's getting a faster cast of the hell of a blast. Now presenting to you an audio gentleman's blast. That's what we got here. That's today. It's gonna be sugar snap pea muddled in with some grass clippings. Burning hot, creating an ash fountain.
Yeah, daddy, dee 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 dee. Is this it? Is this the button here? Is this where? Oh, hold on. Is this it? Is this my heart? Is this my heart beating? Or is it, hey, it's my heart talking to me right now. I think it is. I think it's it. Oh, no, we just hit the Renaissance. No, oh, fuck. That was the Renaissance. No, we didn't want to hit that so soon, because it starts to get like a Renaissance painting in here. And the next thing you know, we're just good and sweet and good. Hey, is that working now? Who's here? Raise your hand. Show it off. Show off that pretty arm if you got, and if you don't have two arms, it's okay. That's great. I'm sure that's spurred you to learn new creative ways of dealing with your problems. That's what this is all about. Twisting the Wind. It's all about taking those problems you got gifted from the universe and making them work. Does your head get chopped off by a lover? Well, you can make it work.
If your lover chopped off your head, it's probably not your lover. It's probably not your lover. Hi, this is a good shop to shop in if you want to buy some things for a friend. But otherwise, I would say go to a different shop, because this one, you're going to find lots of stuff. And if you want to use the restroom, you got to buy something, okay? What's the deal with that, huh? Okay, if I go to a fast food restaurant, or any restaurant for that matter, if it's under a sit-down restaurant that you order table service from the waiter, and it says bathrooms for customers only, I mean, do I order the food first and then, because that's what becomes a customer, do I go up to the counter and say, hi, look, I intend to buy food, but I'd like to evacuate my bowels in your customers only restroom first before I eat the food you have, okay? I don't want to have to, like, go and buy the food, and then, like, what do I do with the food? Why am I in the bathroom? Do I leave it there? I'm by myself. And I don't have a backpack. It's not a bomb. It's not 9/11 or anything. It's just You know, I mean, what do I do? Do I buy the food and have you hold on to it while I go to the bathroom? Figure out your restroom for customers only policy and call me back, because I've got to go to the bathroom, so yeah.
Okay, enough of that. Get him out of here. Okay, get that. Did we get that guy out of here? Great, okay. Thanks, security. Hi, this is Johnny Pemberton. Welcome to Twisting the Wind. I'm sorry about that interruption a minute ago. Somebody got in here who wasn't supposed to be here. He didn't have a ticket to this event, but we got him out, and he's got his cell phone. He's going to be fine. He'll hit up Yelp, and he'll probably get a lot of thumbs up on Yelp. This is Twisting the Wind, the audio product that you are listening to currently. Look, no, I've had a heck of a time of getting water to you guys. By water, I mean the water of life. By that, I mean vibrations, okay? You don't need my vibrations. You don't. I don't need them, but I do. But now we're back on track here. It's going to be great here on Twisting the Wind, the podcast of the name I just said, a.k.a. the Executive Buffet, hey, get a buck in my day and get out of my way. Wouldn't that be a funny thing to say to somebody? Hey, get a bidet and get out of my way. You know, like go wash yourself with an expensive product that uses plumbing and get out of my way. But maybe first it should be a get out of my way and get a bidet. So yeah. So good day to you. Here we are. Number one, if you need to contact the podcast, it's twistingthewind@gmail.com. That's twistingthewind@gmail.com. Also, please rate and review the podcast. You've done it before. Actually, no, you haven't. Can you do it more than once? I don't even know. I don't work for a man. Can you? If you could, maybe you want to. People who have, thank you so much. It's really like a deep down delta touchdown when you read those type of specific spelunking specifically. You've spelunked into a place that of specificity, and it's rewarded me with a fucking dopamine kunk. That's the sound of a dopamine pellet flopping into my rat tray in the laboratory of this, the Compass Zone. That's great. So thank you for that. It's really appreciated. Rate and review. Continue on that. Also, if you so choose, donate to the podcast. It's easy. But even better than that, go to feralaudio.com. Go to the Twisting the Wind page and buy stuff on Amazon. Buy anything. Buy the Furminator dog brush for your dog that you have that sheds like a motherfucking maniac. That you're always like, no, she doesn't shed. No, she's not a shedder. And then you're like, oh, wait, she does. Because every morning I wake up, oh, wait, did I just make this about me, not about some imaginary you? Yes, I did, because it's me. Buy the Furminator, Amazon.com for your cat or dog. Honestly, I would love for Furminator to reach out and sponsor the podcast because it is an incredible product. I feel like, you know, I'm not joking, but I am. But I am. But I'm not. It's an incredible product. If you have an animal, cat or dog, this is like the fucking ultimate comb. It's great. So get that Furminator. That's what it's called. It's such a dumb name, but it's true. It gets this hair. It's like, where's this hair coming from, you know? But it is. It's combing from is what it is. So do that. It helps the podcast out. It helps Feral Audio out. If you just want to go and shop on Amazon through Feral Audio, that's great too, because you can help out more than just me. You can help out all the other great acts here. You got Call Chelsea Pretty. Outstanding show. You've got the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. Outstanding show. You've got Harmontown. Outstanding show. You've got This Is Terrible with Aaron McGathy. Outstanding show. We've got Conversations with Matt Dwyer. Outstanding show. You've got all these outstanding shows. So let's say you got like $100 to spend on Amazon and you don't want to, like, I don't know which podcast to support directly or indirectly by shopping on Amazon Feral Audio Portal. Just do a generic one and you can satisfy all the urges. So thanks for that. And three, Just keep listening. I don't know. There's no third one, but if you have a one or two, you got to have a three. Okay. So this is going to be a really cool podcast because I got to interview somebody really interesting. Someone I've been wanting to interview for, I think, about 4 years now, or no, 3 years now, a long fucking time, because this guy is incredible. The only sad part is I didn't get to talk to him as much as I wanted to because of time was something that was not managed correctly by myself. But I'm getting better at time management, guys, so this won't happen in the future. We'll have longer, more in-depth interviews from field locations. Needless to say, but I did it anyways. So, hey, it's going to be great. And we're going to do that in a minute after a call, and everything is going to be sweet. Because we're back here, we're stunt rocking, who's also going to be on the podcast not too long from now, and everything's hot and sweet and buttery and dripping and ready to rock and ready to go and ready to be. I'm ready to just hardtail it out of here until you get yourself a new cabin.
You can't stay here for the winter. If you think you're staying here for the winter, you better get another idea. You think you can stay here for the winter? You think you're going to plunk down and stay here for the winter? Yeah, I doubt that severely. I've got a severe doubt that you will be plunking down in this log cabin for the rest of winter. You better find yourself another cabin, but you got 2 weeks. Okay, figure it out, mister.
Number are you calling?
Press 2 for help with an existing cruise reservation or for all other inquiries. Press 6 if you know your party's extension. Calls may be monitored and or recorded for quality assurance.
Thank you for calling. This is Kat. How may I help you?
Hi, this is Richard. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Oh, this is so cool. I didn't know I would be getting through here so early. It's so fun.
It's your lucky day.
It is. I guess I don't know where to start, really. I am interested in doing a lot of different things. I wanted to see about what is the music situation like on one of these boats?
Okay. Well, we do have local musicians on the ships.
You do?
Are you calling to investigate traveling with us, or do you have a reservation already made?
You know what
or?
Was so funny is I was about to say investigate when you were looking for a word. I was thinking that same word. That's so funny.
No.
Okay. No, people don't use that word enough, I feel. You know, it's a good word, investigate, because it's like, it sort of implies.
I know. I think it's got such a negative connotation that people don't realize that it's not a negative word. It's a positive word.
It does, because you're looking for information, and people are so scared that the police are going to come take them away. That's why they don't like that word, investigate. I think that's what it is, isn't it?
I think there are too many cop shows on TV.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. I feel like it's so funny to hear that, for someone else say that. I feel like everything is a cop show. I mean, if you know, here's the funny thing, is if there were as many cops as there are cop shows, they probably wouldn't have cop shows because there wouldn't be any crime. You know what I mean?
Yes, and those few crimes that would occur, they'd always get solved.
They would, because they would be so...
Every one of them.
Like,
exactly.
It's like doing something on camera. It's you can say what you want about Matt. Like, I'm a big fan of magic. I went to the Magic Castle recently. Do you know about that?
Oh, yes. I've never had the privilege of going, but I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, it is incredible. It's the kind of thing where you just you use up all the wow in your body when you're finished and you leave, and everything seems kind of like it's just all colors of gray. Because you see so much stuff there that's just stupendous, and I think that's another word that we need to bring back. Because people think I mean it's stupid. It doesn't mean that at all.
Really? I've never heard that interpretation of the word, but I could see where people might. But
I said it at a chocolate shop in the airport. I was flying out of the airport, And I'm kind of an airport person. I was flying out of this airport, and I said that at the chocolate shop, and this young lady looked at me, and she was like, why you say that mean thing? She had like a weird accent. I don't know where she was from, but she's like, why you say this mean thing about chocolate?
And
I was like, for one, it's, you missed a couple words in there. It would be like, why did you say such a mean thing about this chocolate? She was, why you say such mean thing about chocolate? And I was taken aback immediately. I was like, well, I said it was stupendous, because it was. It was this, have you ever had Oreo?
Yes.
What they did, these geniuses, they took Oreo and they managed to, like, imagine if, like, Oreo was like, you know how yogurt can grow if you get it in a new spot?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yep.
Yeah. Wait, you're not a yogurt maker, are you?
No, not a maker. I just like the consumption of it.
Me too. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a whole other thing. But so they basically, imagine if you had like a culture of Oreo, and you could grow that, and it was like this thing that expanded out, but it didn't just expand like the cream. It expanded like the cookie chunks and the cream expanded out. And it was this fudge brick, and it was this thing. It was so good, so creamy and chocolatey. And I said, this is stupendous. And she goes, why you say thing about chocolate? And she, I don't know. And I was like, no, this is a compliment to it. But so yeah, I mean, that's,
well,
just, that's a language
English
thing.
English is not her first language. She, you can sort of understand the misinterpretation there.
Wait, say that again.
If English was not her first language, you could understand the misinterpretation.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, because she had like a look of like a person who would have been, I don't know, like maybe you'd see her like among coconut palm trees kind of thing, like a very tropical
Polynesian look or something.
Yeah, she looked like she would be among coconuts or Polynesian. Where is, that's like those islands there, right?
Right. You know, think of, it was actually Polynesians who first populated Hawaii. So, like,
no way.
And
I didn't know that.
And that, yep.
How did they do that?
On those outrigger canoes. They made massive ones.
What does that mean? I never. So these are canoes, but canoes are for, like, you know, Indians in the lakes.
No, they're called outrigger canoes. They're the kind of big, long canoes that have the pylon off to the side to make them more stable.
Oh.
Remember the old Hawaii Five-0 show?
I do a little bit.
Yeah, they always showed Hawaiians paddling one of those big outriggers. And
they can
get quite large.
They can. You can make that.
Yes.
I've heard that you can make a boat as big as you want.
Yes, as long as the displacement is correct, you can.
Oh, that's a good word. What was that one? I don't know that one. This
displacement?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the amount of water that is displaced when you put an object into it.
Oh, wow. That's science right there. You must be a science. Have you done science?
No, actually, I am not. I'm more of a history buff.
Wow, okay.
You have to know a little bit of science to do that.
You do. Yeah, I guess that's true, because that's what they said about the Civil War in America, was the whole thing where the science was on their side, is what they always said to me about the northern part of it.
Right, the industry and science was all up north, and so anyway...
They had those beakers. They would do laboratory stuff to really figure out the best way to feed the army, because that's how it is. It's a That's how Rome did it. Did you know that about the cheese?
Yes, an army marches on its stomach.
Okay. That's exactly the phrase. The thing is, I saw is they, you know, Parmesan, that cheese we eat.
Yeah.
I put that on pizza. I mean, I'm not a huge pizza guy, but when I do, you're going to see me with that Parmesan shaker until it's empty almost. I mean, I get some weird looks.
Oh, really? You love Parm, huh?
Oh, my. I mean, honestly, I've never had too much Parmesan. There's something where like, I have to go out. If I go to pizza, I got to bring someone with me, because I'm like, hey, your job is to keep me away from reaching across to the next guy's table saying, Is that your parm?
Yeah. Can I borrow that?
Oh, wait, say that again. That was so funny.
Can I borrow that?
Oh, wow. Oh, that is so me. Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry. That was just so funny.
Can I borrow that?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's like, can I borrow that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, because dining out is such a thing where you see somebody and you're like, where did you come from? You know what I mean? Yeah, but I don't say that. Do you ever sit? Do you ever think that?
You think things, yes. But anyway, getting back to your questions, I do need to get you over to one of my vacation experts.
Okay.
I work with reservations that already have been made down here in.
You sound like an expert,
service
though.
Land.
You.
No, it's part of my job, but I do need to get you over to one of my vacation people. Okay.
I gotta say, can I just say one thing to you real quick? I don't know who I could speak to that would be more of an expert than you. So take that to the bank.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's a very nice compliment. I appreciate that.
Cool.
Okay. Talk to you later.
You gonna pass me over?
I am. I'm gonna put you up to over to one of my vacation people. Okay.
Great.
Thank you, sir. Hang on.
I'm here.
Richard Bass. This is the case of Richard Jask. He tried so hard. Richard Jask just wanted a friend of the pizza dungeons.
Okay.
What are we doing, buddy?
We're doing good. So here, you can hold on to this one here. And you know how that works, right?
Yes, just a microphone. Is it live?
It's gone. I'm recording right now. I just started, so we got it. Mm-hmm. We're going now. So if you just hold it kind of like right about there.
All right here, man.
Yeah, right about there. That's good.
All right, baby.
Will I be sure?
I'm with Norman Taylor right now. Now, Norm, you used to be a member of the New Orleans Police Department. Is that correct?
Correct. I'm a retired member of the New Orleans Police Department, as well as the New Orleans Parish Criminal Sheriff's Office.
Got it. And when I first met you, you were taking me from the airport to someplace in downtown New Orleans, and you told me a story, kind of an involved story, about a double homicide, like the most grisly thing you'd ever seen.
It's a true story. And it actually gave me goosebumps. Whenever I tell a story, I've told a story to numerous people, and every time I tell this story, it gives me goosebumps. Basically what it was, and just using the streets as reference, because you may not know where we're talking about, New Orleans, but there was a young lady who lived in the St. Thomas Project who called us one night and said that she had gotten a call from a girlfriend of hers who lived up on Jackson Avenue. And the girlfriend on Jackson Avenue was telling the girlfriend from the St. Thomas girl, call the police, because my boyfriend has your boyfriend in the back with a gun to his head. So the girl from the St. Thomas calls us. We go there, we pick her up, and we take her to the Jackson Avenue Street address. Mm-hmm. Well, we're knocking on the door. No one answers the door. So we're standing on the porch talking to the young lady, and a car passes by. And she say, oh, there they go right there. So we give chase. We get the car stopped. There's three guys in the car. When we get them out of the car, they're splattered with blood. There's three guns in the car. We pop the trunk of the car, and there's the jewelry from the missing boyfriend in the trunk of the car. Mm-hmm. So not knowing where this kid is at, we book all three of these guys with aggravated kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, I'm at home asleep. My name is Norman Taylor. There's a homicide detective named Norman McCord. Next morning, I'm at home asleep, and a phone rings. And he says, Norman? I said, yeah, who's this? He says, this is Norman. I said, yeah, man, what's up? He said, we found the two bodies.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, wait a minute, the two bodies, what, to kill the guy and the girl that called? He says, no, it's two fellas. He says, and we can tell which one had gotten murdered first, because when we took the blindfolds, I mean, they had been bonded and blindfolded. He said, we took the blindfold over one of the guys, his eyes was wide open.
Whoa.
But this is where it starts getting real weird.
Hold on one second. Let me just turn this off. Okay, so this is where it starts getting real weird.
Yeah, this is where it starts getting real weird. Really weird. They call a coroner's office, and the guy who drives the wagon for the coroner's office, name is Shorty. His nickname is Shorty. So Shorty gets there with the wagon. He looks in the car, and he says, oh, my God, it's Junior. So Norman says, wait, Junior, what do you mean it's Junior? He says, that's my stepson in that car.
Whoa.
So Norman is like, oh, man, I'm sorry. You understand? But Norman explains to him, he says, look, you're not a blood relative. He said, can you please take the two kids to the mall and call your wife and ask your wife to come out and identify her son. So Shorty takes the two kids. He takes them to the mall. He gets on the phone. He calls his wife. He says, "Babe," he says, "I have bad news." And she was like, "What?" She says, "I have Junior in the mall. He's dead." Well, she loses it.
Right.
I mean, naturally, you know, someone calls you and tell you your son's dead, so she loses it. She's all over the place. So they finally get her calmed down and get her back on the phone. So Shorty tells her, say, "Babe, we need you to come down to identify Junior because they won't allow me to do it." So being distraught, she calls across the courtyard and she calls her girlfriend. She asks her girlfriend, say, "Look, they just called me and say my son is dead in the mall. Can you come please take me to the mall to identify my son?" So they get in the car and they go down there. So as soon as they get there, they take him in the back and they pull a drawer open. And sure enough, it's her son. Mm-hmm. And she loses it again. I mean, she's all over the floor. She's crying. She's weeping, charling. So they finally get her calmed down again. And so Norman says, "Ma'am," says, "I understand you're upset." He says, "But can you please look at this other kid and see if you know who this other kid is? Because we don't know who he is."
Yeah.
They open the drawer and it's the other woman's son. The woman that she called to drive her is her son. And what happened was the two boyfriends had been arguing back and forth. And this kid decided he's going to go down there and make peace with his other knucklehead. But when he walks in, he and his asshole friends are in the back doing drugs. They decide for kicks they're going to kill this kid. So as they bring him out of the alley, his friend is waiting in the car for him. Okay? And he jumps out of the car and says, "Hey, where are you going with my friend?" And they take him and kill him for no reason.
Just
absolutely
no
reason, you know. And that is one of the that's the most horrific thing I've seen. The strangest thing I've ever seen on the job was, we get a call again at night. I love working nights. We get a call about 3 o'clock in the morning. On Magazine Street, there's a guy sitting in the bar, and he's covered with blood. So we get there, and sure enough, he's sitting at the bar. The bartender says, "Man, he came in. He's covered with blood." He says, "But he lives across the street." So we go across the street and we walk into the apartment. Look like somebody had slaughtered hogs. There was blood all over the place.
Whoa.
We find the girlfriend's body in the bedroom on the floor. But we find the body. There's no head.
Oh,
he decapitated her. So we're looking all over the apartment for the body. I mean, for the head. And there's no head. So the sergeant in charge, Ronald, he says, "Okay, fellas, we have to spread out and look for this head." Well, by this time, you got to understand, I'm a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of things, done a lot of things. You know, I've involved, seen murders and had arrested a lot of people. So I'm steeled. I know, you know, nothing scares me. But we're walking and we're looking all under the cars and all. And old badass Norman lifts this garbage can top, and there's these two blue eyes piercing up at me. My first reaction was to pull my gun. But then I realized to myself, I don't know, in a split second, I realized, if I pull my gun and shoot the head, what am I doing? So I take off running. They have to come and get me.
Whoa.
Scared the living daylights out of me. And that was the weirdest thing that I had ever seen. I mean, a head just sitting right there and evidently her eyes were. And this is the reason why he killed her. He wanted to go out and have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him he could not. So he says, and this is what he says, excuse me, he says, "Yeah, I killed the bitch and went and had a drink anyway." So so that's you know, those some of those kind of things that you have. But I tell you, I enjoyed my whole career.
Right.
I met some interesting people. I did some interesting things. You know, it's just, it was rewarding. The most rewarding thing was that we took a bunch of kids camping from the inner city projects, from the projects. And we took 10 kids from each one of our housing developments with the projects, and we took them away for a weekend. Now, you haven't lived until you was out in the woods with 100 kids and you got to provide 3 hots and a cot for these kids. And what we did, though, because at that time the projects were arguing and fighting and beefing with each other, as the kids say, beefing. And so what we did was we got 2-person pup tents, and we took one kid from one project and took another kid from another project and put them in that tent. Then we sectioned them off into 4 different groups, and we had competitions.
Okay.
And at night it would get cold, so we say, "Okay, whoever does the best, we'll build a bonfire and give you hot dogs and stuff to roast over the fires." Mm-hmm. But every night we gave everybody.
Right.
And at the end, man, when we were bringing those kids back, I started crying because I didn't want to bring them back.
Right.
And all of the police officers that went with us, we wouldn't allow anyone to bring a gun.
Yeah.
We didn't want to have these kids. And the most heartbreaking thing about that weekend was there was one kid. Well, let me digress a minute. As we were going down the highway, there was a farm on the right-hand side with cattle. These kids had never seen cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the weight of the bus shift to one side, and all the kids went on to one side to see the cattle. But the most heartbreaking thing was one of the kids had found a little water, a little grass snake, mm-hmm. and he had put him in a jar. And he wanted to bring him home.
Right.
And we had to keep telling this kid he couldn't bring him home. And this kid cried and cried and cried because mm-hmm. he had never had a pet.
Yeah.
You know, so this was going to be his pet. But we told him, man, you can't bring him home. You know, he's going to die. You had to let him go. And that was really heartbreaking, trying to sit this kid down and explain to him that, you know, this is the way of nature. You can't, there's certain things that you just cannot do. You know? So that was my best time.
That sounds great.
That was my best time.
You were telling me something about how New Orleans traditionally was kind of resistant to a lot of the gang infiltration that happens in other cities in the United States.
New Orleans is territorial.
Okay.
There was wars. Even when I was coming up, you couldn't go to another part of the city and date a girl if you wasn't from that area. I mean, you know, we divided by wards, not by neighborhoods. We divided by third ward, fourth ward, ninth ward, and so forth. So if you wasn't for that ward, you couldn't come in that ward and date anyone, or you couldn't go in that ward and do anything. When the gangs try to infiltrate the New Orleans, the ward people, the guys in the wards, wouldn't allow them to come in. We actually, back in the 70s, we ran the shit out of the Bloods and the Crips out of New Orleans. They were not allowed to get a foothold in New Orleans. Now, today, you got these little loose-knit gangs, but nothing really big and organized.
So most of the crime that happens in New Orleans is not stuff that seems like it's gang-related is not. It's just sort of
It is to some extent in that, like I said, we have these little pockets of kids who think they're the badasses, and you have these little rival drug gangs that are fighting each other. You know, it's still territorial, but it's progressed from where I digressed actually from when I was a youngster, because we would fight.
Right.
And go about our way. We all went to school together, but now these kids are killing up each other.
Yeah.
You know, and for what? Because the wards were only put in place for voting purposes.
Okay.
Tomorrow, if the state legislature decide that they're going to change the wards, then those who lived in the ninth ward may well be living in the third ward now.
Right.
So it makes absolutely no sense.
You grew up in Mid-City, right?
Yes.
Now, what ward is that? Does that have a name? Or?
I grew up in a little town, a little place in the city called Zion City.
Zion?
Zion, Z-I-O-N. Okay. And what we said was, it was a city within a city.
Okay.
And it was one great neighborhood. And at one time, my brothers and I, we all had paper routes. And I knew everyone who was in every house that was in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small area. But it was so loving, and so we everybody got along.
Right.
And it was, you know, they came up later on, in years later, with It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. Well, actually, we were the precursors for that.
Right.
We, in our neighborhood, everyone, and I think in a lot of neighborhoods back in the day, anyone could whip your behind. If you did wrong, you got your behind whipped, and nobody cared. I remember I had four brothers, and we would go to the barbershop on a Saturday, and we would be sitting there waiting to get our hair cut. And if an elderly man or older man came in and said, well, who's next? And they said, oh, my mother's name was Mary. They said, oh, Mary's boys. They said, oh, them boys ain't got nothing to do. They'll make us wait. And sometimes we would sit in the barbershop 8-9 hours waiting to get our hair cut. You know, every once in a while, somebody would say, well, here, take this nickel and go get you something at the store. But mostly they would come in and say, but, yeah. And there was no recourse. You couldn't go home and say, Mama, he made us wait. No. There was no recourse, because you had to listen to the adults.
Right.
You had to listen to everybody, and you would get your behind busted if you didn't listen.
That makes a lot of sense. So you grew up near Alan Toussaint, right?
Alan Toussaint at one time lived on Erato Street between South Gallos and South Salcedo Street, which is probably 4200 block of Earhart Boulevard.
Is that Mid-City?
That's Mid-City. Well, Central. It's actually Broadmoor.
Okay.
More Broadmoor than in the Central City. And I grew up on Gallosa Street, 1100 block of Gallosa Street. Mr. Toussaint is much older than I am.
Okay.
Okay, but it was fascinating seeing him, and even seeing him today, and to appreciate where he came from.
Right.
And seeing where, because I think a couple of weeks ago he was honored in Washington, D.C. for something.
Okay.
And just to say, and you know, the Toussaints, they had another family of Toussaints, Kevin and them, who lived a couple of blocks down from us, and I think they were related. But just to see Alan attain the status that he has in the musical world, because it's my understanding, and I'm not well-versed on it, but it's my understanding he's written songs for some of the biggest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's written several hundred songs, as far as I know, yeah.
Yeah.
He's produced some of my favorite music. Like, all my favorite music from New Orleans is all produced by him. Like this guy Curly Moore, who he produced, and also
Well, he did Irma, and he Irma did Thomas, Ernie Cato.
Ernie Cato, he did The Meters.
The Meters, yeah.
All the Art Neville stuff. He did the Wild Magnolias, which I guess is just the Meters.
Yeah.
So those guys, those Wild Magnolias, those, what area of town do those guys come from?
If it's the Wild, and again, I'm not well-versed in that group, but the Wild Magnolias, I think, came from Ronald Magnolia Housing Development, which is on the other side of Claiborne Avenue. But we had a lot of, you know, you talk about the Wild Magnolias, but we had a lot of talent in New Orleans that didn't go national.
Yep.
You know, people know about the Ernie Catos and the Aaron Nevilles and the Neville brothers.
Lee Dorsey
and those guys. But there were guys, you know, like Bo and
Eddie Bowes. Eddie Bowes gotten pretty big. That guy I'm talking about, Curly Moore. He just died about a year or two ago, but he was working down here. I don't know. He was doing something really, some boring, menial work.
And it was nothing unusual for you to walk into a nightclub on a Saturday and see a live band.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some of the best music.
Right.
Yeah. And I've heard stories about what used to happen at the Dew Drop Inn, where you can walk in the Dew Drop Inn and you may find Ray Charles sitting there with Jackie Wilson and Elvis Presley and all of those guys. And so in New Orleans, the musical culture of New Orleans is so rooted, if you will. You can go back and just look at all of the music that came out, and I understand people saying certain places, Chicago, the home of the blues and so forth, but I think everything originated from New Orleans, and even today in the black churches.
Right.
And, you know, from back then, the black churches, all of this came from the black churches. And I remember Sam Cooke and those guys, the Gospel Soul Children, all that came from the black churches.
Right.
And the music here, and that's another reason why I envy Alan so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alan, again, like I said, he made music for some of the greatest. He wrote music and produced music for some of the greatest stars.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and like you say, you know, the Moore kids, a lot of these guys didn't get real famous.
Yeah, I mean, he himself is not as well known as a lot of the artists that he produced.
Right.
Like his albums, he has some pretty great albums, but they were never big sellers for the most part.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a weird thing with a lot of these guys who are, I mean, I guess that's how it works, though, because if you're a producer, it's like you're thinking more about the big picture. You're not necessarily like a personality as much as like a Lee Dorsey
type guy. A lot of artists, black artists from back in the day, you know, they lost their royalties, they signed away their royalties.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was really hard on these guys. And for Alan to maintain what he's done for years and years and years and years, my hat is off to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he did something that no one had done, because that was a label that was, I mean, it was a black label, and he ran it. Mm-hmm. He didn't have anyone. He wasn't answering anybody. So it was a great thing. He had, like, everything was in-house.
Yeah.
He was able to control that. And so, because he had so many instances of people getting screwed over and getting their money stolen by, like white producers and stuff who run these big labels.
Yeah.
But, like, with, because he had a bunch of them. He had that album. He had Watch, and he had 2C. He had like six different names for these guys. All these different labels he had. They're so cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever run across Professor Longhair when you were growing up or anything?
No.
I used to be really into that guy. I was wondering if I never met someone who's met him. I was wondering if it's like.
No, I've never met Professor Longhair. There was a lot of things.
Hey, Two minutes.
Yeah. Right.
There was, again, a lot of local talent.
Right.
And these guys would get together and they'd have jam sessions. I remember when the Meters and all, they would practice on the other side of the canal from us. And, it's kind of like you know these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually don't know them, but Arthur and Aaron and all those guys, Cyril and all those guys, they were role models.
Okay, yeah.
You know, we grew up looking at those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were so many guys who didn't make it.
Oh, yeah.
That were good.
A lot.
Like I said earlier, you could walk into a ballroom in New Orleans and there was maybe a three-piece band, guy on the guitar. And, I mean, you know, there was I can't remember his name. But his sister and all used to live back where we were at. And
Mac Rebenack?
No. You wouldn't know him.
Okay.
You would not know him. And this guy, he was a hell of a guitar player, though.
Right.
Guitar, what they call them? Guitar Sam or Guitar Slim? I'm not sure.
Oh, Guitar Slim. Yeah, Johnny Guitar Slim.
No. This guy was local. He was, in the neighborhood. He played the bars in the neighborhood. And maybe once in a while we'd go out. But he was good.
Cool.
He was good. And there was a lot of artists that was good that didn't make it out.
Yeah. I wish we could keep talking, but I feel like I have to have to go to the airport now.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You want to tell me that quick story, the one about you crossing the bridge during Katrina, right after the storm?
Oh, yeah. As I say, I'm a retired New Orleans police officer, and what they did was, and it was so foolish to me, they blocked off the exit. They blocked off the bridge from the East Bank of New Orleans to the West Bank of New Orleans. The Gretna Police Department did it, saying that they didn't want anyone to go over there to loot. So mm-hmm. they wouldn't allow any pedestrians across the bridge.
Right.
But you can go over with a car.
Okay.
So if you were going to loot, would you rather go in a car or on foot? And who's going to carry off a TV on foot?
Yeah, nobody.
So I thought it was asinine for him to do it. And as I got to the top of the bridge, they told me I wasn't going any further. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling them, hey, man, I'm retired on the police officer. I need to get across the river. Well, we're not allowed to let you go. Well, I'm not going to Gretna. I'm going to New Orleans. So as I started walking away, you know, one of the guys was like, I said, well, I mean, you two have to shoot me. Okay, because I'm going on the West Bank to my brothers. And fortunately, a police car pulled up. I flagged them down. They gave me a ride across. Good. But I was going across the river.
Yeah.
And it made absolutely no sense for me why they would allow vehicles to go across. And not pedestrians.
Sounds like standard sort of idiotic disaster stuff.
You got that right. Uh-huh. You got that right. They were idiots.
Yep.
You know, so.
Well, Norman, thanks for telling me. Thanks for talking to me, man.
And it's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
man.
Maybe we'll talk to you on the phone, and I'll definitely be in touch about the record stuff.
Outstanding.
Yeah, man. All right.
Thank
on.
You, buddy.
Later.
Welcome to Twisting the Wind musical section. Oh, sweet baby, thank you for being here. Music, 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 music. Okay, sweet, sweet, my friend. Sweet, sweet, my friend. Thank you. Oh, you know what I just did just now? I already tipped off the song I want to talk about. This is the Twisting the Wind musical section. I'm still, you know, this is like, you know where you are. We're deep into the podcast at this point. Okay, so let's get down to it real fast, easy, hard, and good. This is a band called Sick Alps, S-I-C. Like sick, like when you say like, oh, he kept it in just so you know, he said it wrong, not me. I'm a journalist. Sick. Isn't that what that means? Someone tell me. Is that what that means? I think it does. I think it means sick. Wouldn't it be great if it was actually something different? Not actually something different, but if it really just meant literally like, oh yeah, sick bro. It's like gnar. It's like saying gnar. Sick. Yo, this guy meant to say my friend, but he just said, but I'm gonna keep it in sick because he said it. This band is called Sick Alps. They're from San Francisco. They're a new band. When I say new, I mean like not ancient, like a lot of the bands I talk about. They're still around, which is outstanding because they're so fucking good. And, I've only kind of recently started listening to them, and it's one of those things where I had one drunken night, you know, one of those drunken nights, maybe not even drunken, just like been drinking, and I really heard him for the first time. I really heard him, and I was like just blown away. I was doing some crazy, just unbridled tweet sesh, just fucking stroking them so hard, because they really are great. It's composed of Mike Donovan, Douglas Armour, Tim Hellman, and Barrett Havner. That's the current band. I don't really know those guys from anything else, but I don't know. This is me not doing my homework here at all. They've been around since about 2004, I think. 2006. And, they've put out a ton of different singles and EPs, and, they put up 5 full-length albums. But I'm gonna be talking about and playing stuff from their Drag City releases, which are the ones I've dipped into most heavily. Oh man, they're so fucking good. I think I should just play a song, and then we'll talk about. We'll talk about it, Jeremy.
Jeremy, we'd like to talk about how you felt about that raging indie noise band that I played for you. Okay, that's what this session's all about. How do you feel about Sick Helps? How do you feel about it, motherfucker? Okay.
I'll play this first. This is of their second most recent album. It's called Napa Asylum. No, sorry. This is off their most recent album. This is called, this is self-titled, actually. They're one of those classic old buddy Juju Jagger, where you do a new album, but it's self-titled. This song is called Glyphs, and it riffs. No, that's a bad one.
Working on a tune, moonlight seascape, rookie girl truth. Pulling on a coat, out to men. I won't speak your mouth, reaching grass. Representative of ancient.
Oh, fucking dear me, God. What a fuck. I mean, I say the word blast all the goddamn time, but that, if that isn't a, what a heavenly blast. That song just, that's Glyphs by Sick Helps off their latest album, self-titled album on Drag City Records. just destroys. It sounds like, you know, like you see like a large wheeled object, like a truck, but it can handle going through like a mud type of thing. And it, well, imagine it catching air. Like, you know how like when big things catch a lot of air, there's like the hang time is more severe because it's just like the reckoning that will come from the eventual gravitational pull back to Earth. If that song exists, and that entirely in that fucking just hanging up there about to crack. You know, like, I remember when I was a kid playing in bands and trying to hit the snare as hard as you possibly could. And you raise your fucking arm up and then you just fucking dang. And it's so fucking loud and it feels so good because you're just, it's, there's like that hang time they're doing there with that ding ding. And all of a sudden it just boom. Yeah, I can listen to that song so much. It's just, it's like a mud spray. If you're from a place that has an actual winter, like where the snow is severe and it lasts until through March, there's this thing that happens when you get like the first couple of hot days. When I say hot, I mean like 60s. Where's this thing where there's like hillsides with have grass on them? They'll have like a lot of muddy zones, and you'll go out there in your shoes or maybe with your bike, and you're fucking around. There's still patches of snow that exist in the shade, and there's just like this. There's like this weird sort of joy of there being any heat whatsoever, but there's still with the existence of the snow, like the crunch of the frost and the snow, this melting snow. That combination was harnessed in that song, I believe. That was a very lengthy description with not much payoff. But you know what I'm saying? It's that fucking mud meets crispy cold meets heat sun. It's butterscotch. It's a fucking A. It's just so goddamn. And then the orchestration behind that. And then you got that guitar solo that comes in there. Like some kind of a leaf blower that sprays mud. Just like a siren, like a klaxon of a guitar. Whoa! The whole thing. Get out of fucking town, Sick Alps. Get out of town. And that was not even a long song. What do you, how do you do it? You know, you do a song like that, you can have the rest of the album could be filler. I don't give a shit. I don't care. You just did that one song, everything's okay. So that's that. That's that song. That's that song. It gets me moving like deep and hard, like a, you ever seen a seal? They weigh more than you think and they go fast. They're slick. They're really fat, but they're slick. Okay. Let me play another song here from Sick Alps. I'm going to play one more. I was going to play a couple more, but you know, we don't have all day. We do have all day. Actually, the thing, but I don't want to take all day. I don't need to remind you, but I do go to Feral Audio and go to Amazon through a portal and buy these fucking songs, buy these albums. These guys are incredible. If you like, I mean, it's just, you need to get the album. They're so, so good. Support them. They're alive. They're a band that's living and existing now. So they need to be supported and listened to and go see them live if they ever come back from Europe. So do that. Also, they'll be on the music page on the show page, a music section on the show page. You know, fucking go to the website. Gagadaga. This is their second most recent album, which is also on Drag City. It's called Napa Asylum. I don't say this a lot. I don't say this a lot because I think it's kind of unfair and also kind of untrue. Is that this album I got on vinyl, on record. I got it first and I listened to it a lot. And I bought it on digital too. I didn't do a download card. I went out and fucking double spent whatever. Okay. That's no credit to anyone. I'm just saying. This is how good the album is I was willing to do that. What I'm saying is there is a quality to this album that really lends itself to the type of bandwidth offered and projected from a phonographic vinyl record. So not saying it's superior or anything, but sometimes that's the case. And so all I will say is if you are a person who buys vinyl records, I would suggest getting this record on that format as opposed to digital, because it's just, there's something about the warmth and the production of this album that is, it's just fucking black. It's just it's like a cranky old troll that you just, it's really good. So this is that. This is their second most recent album, 2012. It's called Napa Asylum. Beautiful, beautiful record. Gatefold, all the good stuff. A lot of songs. You can slow them down, speed them up. They all sound good. A lot of noisy little interlude tracks. A lot of full on, full bore Pink Floyd's psychedelic, reminiscent guitar, Lord, everything stuff. This is one. This is like probably maybe the single off the album. If not the single, it's definitely a standout track. It's called Cement Surfboard. Get in it, it.
Listening to Twisting the Wind. That was Cement Surfboard by Sick Ops. I'm going to play you one more track from them. This is off their 2008 album, US Easy, on Still Breeze Records. This is a nice little mellow one. It's really going to close it off real sweet. But thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your recommendations and your hot touchdown buddy balls.
And here's what I promise. In the new year, this podcast will be more robust. It will have products with which to purchase, like t-shirts and also a CD or a digital download of the best of Twisting the Wind phone calls, okay?
That's going to be pretty cool. So you can buy that for your friends and your roommates and all your little buddy boys you like fucking running around with.
Because you're just that kind of guy. So thanks again for tuning in and being friend and getting in the hot tub deep in.
I don't know how the stargates work. It's never been told me. I know they're activated by sound, but I don't know how you determine, you know, step into a gate, you don't end up in some alternative universe, you know?
This song is called Inventing a Common Rule. Sick Alps, U.S. album, U.S. Easy. Go to our Amazon portal and buy music and other shit. Thank you. I love you. Good day. Mm-hmm.
branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.